With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Genesis chapter 40. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man, his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sad today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. The first thing that I want you to remember about this passage is that God is being very encouraging to his servant Joseph. One of the last things that he heard from his brothers is what? Here comes that dreamer. And yet, what do we have in this passage? We have Joseph being remembered as the one who interprets dreams. In other words, it will be via the dreams of the butler and the baker that Joseph will eventually be restored to Pharaoh, as he is called before Pharaoh to interpret a dream for him. And so notice, let's make use of that statement of Joseph. You meant it for evil, here cometh that dreamer, but God meant it for good. Not just the sending of Joseph, but the ridicule of Joseph as the dreamer. They meant it for evil, but God turned it to good. The second thing that I think we should remember out of this passage is that we note that the providence of God sometimes works in ways that appear to us to be circuitous, but in God's economy are always in a straight line. Wouldn't it have been better, maybe we should say, some might be tempted to say. I mean, Potiphar was Pharaoh's chief captain. If God wanted to get Joseph close to Pharaoh, much easier just to do that through Potiphar. And yet here he goes into jail, and it's through the interpretation of dreams that he ends up as the Grand Vizier of Egypt. This seems to be circuitous to us rather than straight line. Well, let's check our judgment. Let's curtail our judgments in that regard. And let's remember that the Lord does all things well. And that everything that happened along the way from being bought of Potiphar to being brought before Pharaoh, that happens to Joseph in God's straight line providence to bring Joseph into the leadership of the most powerful nation in the world. Okay? So outwardly, it may appear to us as a circuitous thing. And we've often described God's providence, haven't we, as a tapestry. You remember that illustration? It's not unique to me. It's not, I didn't originate it. But it is such a very good illustration. On the same tapestry, if you look at it from one side, it looks like a mess. Strings hanging everywhere. And then someone will say, yeah, but turn it around. And you turn that tapestry around, and lo, it becomes a beautiful piece of work. Right? Sometimes it's just our perspective of God's providence that makes it look like the backside of a tapestry, but looking back at it from the future, it appears in that beautiful piece of work that it always was in His mind. Okay? All right, so those two things as introductory to this chapter. Now notice we have some pretty high-ranking officials being brought into the prison. So now we'll see a little bit of God's providence here. These are high-ranking officials. And so what does the head of the prison house do? Having these high-ranking officials that perhaps still have ties to Pharaoh's court into the prison, what does he do? He puts his best man on the case, Joseph. And so these high-ranking officials then are managed by Joseph. This is an intentional move on the part of the captain of the guard, and also notice that it is within the providence of God a part of that straight line that we talked about. And so each man dreams a dream, and Joseph gives glory to God in the interpretation of the dream. Interpretations, he says, belong to God. Tell me them, I pray you, and I will give you God's word on it. Not my word. I will give you God's word on that. And so once again, Joseph stands in the long line of prophets in the Old Testament that knew they were speaking God's word. Okay? All right. So then we have the chief butler and his dream and his interpretation, and then the chief baker and his dream and his interpretation. We'll need not spend time on those two dreams and their interpretation, except to say that notice these men are unbelievers and superstitious. That the goodness that comes to them with regard to the interpretation is lost upon them, especially the baker. Because notice what it says, that he was going to keep quiet, it seems, until he saw that the interpretation of the butler's dream was good, and he said, let me get some of that too. Right? What does it say? And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold. Instead of saying, Joseph, seeing that you are a prophet, let me submit myself under the word of God. What is the word of God for me? Nope. I'm only going to ask if I know I'm going to get a favorable answer, or if I think I'm going to get a favorable answer. Beloved, let not that be our way. Right? Let us desire when someone comes to us with a piece of information, whether that's a commendation or a criticism, let us not let the comfort of the message itself or lack thereof inform our motivation to hear it. Let us desire to hear from the Lord in everything. Sometimes the Lord will have a word of peace or kindness for us. Sometimes the Lord will have a word of chastisement for us. And yet, even in those chastisements, what do we have? We have His constant care. Right? Okay. All right, so now we come to the execution of those dreams. And so yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head, and so on. Verse 20, Genesis chapter 40, verse 20. And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker. And he restored the chief butler, but he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said. And yet the chief butler remembered not Joseph, but forgot him. Two things, and then we'll be done. The first is, I know that birthdays are big among some folks, and I'm not here to spoil your fun, but I will tell you that birthdays in Scripture do not have a good reputation. On this Pharaoh's birthday, let me say it this way. The chief baker would rather have skipped the party. Right? There's another birthday in Scripture, right? That would be Herod's birthday. And John Baptist would rather have skipped the party. Okay? Birthdays in Scripture, while they're not forbidden to celebrate, I'm not telling you don't celebrate birthdays, that's of the devil. No, Pastor Todd's not saying that. But I am saying that let's be careful with regard to indulgence on any day of the year, and especially when we're more tempted, because, you know, this is my day, I get what I want. That should not be our attitude on our birthdays. Birthdays in Scripture are put in their proper place, as that for unbelievers they become a day of indulgence, where they would do things that they might not otherwise do. Okay? So whenever someone asks me to wish them a happy birthday, I always say something like, "May the Lord grant you a wonderful year to come," or something like that. It's not a big deal. You don't have to do that. You know. You can celebrate your birthdays, please do, but just be upright in so doing, right? And then the last thing that I wanted to mention is, not only did the chief baker look for his own benefit, right, in the interpretation of the dream, but the chief butler did the same thing. He remembered not Joseph. I'm going to bring out what I think is an implication of this passage. That doesn't mean he forgot. That he was so happy that he was restored that he forgot about Joseph. Okay, how could you forget? No, actually what happened, at least to my understanding, and when this is my understanding, I'll give it to you as my understanding, is that he thought, you know, I've seen the chief baker get hanged up. I've been restored. Maybe I'll not press any other requests. Maybe I'll just let that lie. After all, it's a Hebrew slave that's in prison. He doesn't really have any rights here. It's okay. I'll just kind of let that slide. Now, I can't tell you certainly that's what happened, but I think that's what happened. And notice then that he was not grateful, as he was more concerned about himself. So also is it's true with the chief baker as well. And so the difference between them is only in God's disposition and not in their own attitudes, because we see, I think, that they were very similar in their attitudes. Thus ends Genesis chapter 40.